Sorry, let me get this going. There we go. Okay. About starting last week, I was at work, I was on call, and I started feeling a little something, and every day it got a little bit worse. And then about Thursday, I was about as low as I could feel, and I texted David, and I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach, and he said, too bad, buddy. Suck it up. Does that sound like David? I didn't text him. I prayed. I took some prednisone. I'm not quite back to my full voice, so if I lose my voice, I apologize. Or, depending on how this goes, if I don't lose my voice, I apologize. Yesterday I was at work and one of the techs said, I like this voice better. Can you just talk like this from now on? So I'm gonna use the calendar as my inspiration for my sermon today. And we know it's a new year. It's the 8th of January. We're on the other side of things. It's sunny out. We're gonna gain about, I think, roughly 2 minutes of daylight per day from here on. I love it. My seasonal affective disorder is driving my wife crazy, so I need that sunlight. I don't know about you. But as we wrapped up last year, it seems like when we come to the end of the year, we always look back and reflect and just kind of take stock of things and everything that's taken place. And I think about myself at the beginning of last year and how ignorant I was on what was going to take place, all the different events that would unfold in the world and in my own life, and the direction that life would take me. Just clueless to those things, and unaware of how I would be changed in that process. There's so many changes over this last year, and changes that we've made consciously, changes that we are aware of, that we made a decision, things that we chose to do. So those are conscious changes that we are aware of, and there's also the unconscious changes that happened to us. When I talk about the conscious changes, I'm thinking about if you made a deliberate decision to do something. If you decided, well, this year I'm gonna start exercising. Like, you made a decision to do that thing, and you could see the effects of that decision in your life. Maybe you had a change of jobs. Maybe you left an old job and you took a new job. Maybe you decided to have a baby and your life is turned upside down after that. Maybe you, this last year, started college. You can see over the course of that year how those changes unfolded in your life. You also made decisions to not do something. Hopefully there's some of you out there on live stream or here today that chose to not do something, like maybe you decided to stop smoking. Maybe there's a smoker here that decided this is it, this is the year that I finally quit. And you made a conscious decision to not do something. Or maybe you decided to stop working. Maybe you got to retire. You got to cease from your career. Maybe you were in a relationship of some kind that you knew needed to come to an end. So you ended that. You made a decision to not continue in that relationship. And you look back over that time and you see the effect that those choices made in your life. Now, the unconscious decisions that I'm thinking about is usually just us going about our day and about our routine and the way that life works on us, sometimes without our knowledge. And when I think about this, I think about my old job. And I was there for about a decade, and it seemed like every year, and I was unaware of this at the time, but every year that passed, I was a little less happy. I took on a little more stress, a little more anxiety, and I talked to someone who was in the same job at the same company, and we stepped away at the same time, and we both said, it's like this slow, steady erosion that we weren't aware of, you know, like the water beating upon the shore and you know, against rocks and eroding that shoreline. And it happens so slowly, you don't notice it day to day. But then when you step away from it, you think about how much you've changed. So there's those negative changes in our life that happen to us unconsciously, but there's also positive changes that we don't really take stock in. Maybe that new job has built you up. Maybe adversity at school, challenges with a coach, with a teacher, and your persistence in persevering through those times has built up new strengths you didn't have before. Confidence, a toughness. You learn patience. If you're parents of young children, you know the strain that can have on you. But while it's taking that strain on you mentally, it's building something within you. I think about when we had four toddlers and there was such little time for ourselves. We had such little time to spend on ourselves. But I'll tell you what I gained from that. I gained the ability to eat food like that. I could multitask like I never multitasked before. I learned how to streamline every process in my life, but I also learned to be less selfish and think less of myself. Some of these happen without our awareness, and maybe it takes that end of the year to really take stock and look at our lives and see, you know, how we've progressed. So all of us individually are going through these changes, and I just want to remind you and make you aware, if you're not already aware, the you that you were on January 1st of 2022 is not the you that you became by December 31st of last year. You are a different person. You were changed. So how are you different? I want you to take a second and think to yourself and think, how did I change? What changed in me? What changed for the better? How did I improve? In what ways did I become a better person? And I want you to consider, how did you change for the worse? Is there any way that you changed for the worse? And are you grateful for the improvement? Are you grateful for the growth that you achieved in that last year? But also at the same time, are you maybe a little disappointed? Maybe a little discouraged when you look back on your year and you see where you regressed or where maybe you drifted a little bit. But I've got good news. And it's not that I can use my technology well. I've got good news, and it's that it's the new year and it's a fresh start. And I have to take advantage and use whatever tool I can to refocus myself, to approach this year with a new start, with a fresh slate, chance to continue the good habits that I built throughout last year, a chance to maybe reassess and recalibrate and recommit in those ways that I backtracked. The other day at work, we were talking, and a coworker, and he's about 15 years younger than me, and he's a new pharmacist, and he's for his age, he comes off as a little cynical. But he said, we were talking about resolutions, and he said, I'm a big resolution guy. I'm a big guy on goals, which took me by surprise, because he didn't really have that personality in me. He said, I've got a big whiteboard at home, and I write my goals out on them, and I like to keep track of them throughout the year. And I was humbled by that, because I don't do that. And I don't know if any of you do that. And every year Anna asks me like what my resolution is. And I always keep it vague. I always keep it kind of vague and just probably to avoid accountability. Probably to avoid disappointment. To avoid feeling like a failure when I don't achieve those goals. But I don't want to take that approach with this sermon, and I don't want you to take that approach with this year. I want to define a couple resolutions that I have for myself today, and I want to challenge you to take on these resolutions yourself. And I want to start talking about these resolutions in the form of a question. Will you love more this year? And like I said, my resolutions are kind of vague, and I'm proving myself here. This is kind of a vague statement, isn't it? I'm not going to define perfectly and exactly what that means when I say this, but I want to use two broad examples from the scriptures. And as I speak, and as you're thinking about these points that I'm making, I want you to let your mind explore the space of what this means. Will you love more this year? I want you to let God and the Spirit work on your heart as I'm talking about these questions. I got to sing this song this year again. It's a blessing. It's an honor. It's my favorite song. And maybe my favorite line in this song, it says, "His law is love and his gospel is peace." Whose law? Jesus Christ's law is love. What do I mean by that? Matthew, the 22nd chapter and the 37th verse says, Jesus said unto him, a man came to him and said, what did he ask him? What was the question that he asked? Someone speak up. I want to hear someone's voice. What was the question that Jesus Christ was asked before he gave this answer? What is the greatest commandment? And this is part one of his response. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is part one of the greatest commandment. So I'm asking you, have you determined yet this year to love God more this year than ever before? Are you going to reach a new level in your love for your Heavenly Father? Have you determined to do that this year? And I think about the people in my life who I could look to and say, they love God so strongly, so strongly. You know, it's a funny coincidence. Those ones that I would point to, that would love, that I would feel like have the strongest love of God that I've witnessed, they also seem to be the ones most in tune to His Spirit. It feels to me like they know Him best. Do you think that's a coincidence? You can't love God without knowing Him more. So if your intent this year is to love God more and have more love for Him in your heart, you have to come to know Him better than you do right now. There's a couple shows on TV. I'm proud to say I've never watched a minute of them, but I'm aware of them. There's two. There's one called The Bachelor. I know that you've heard of it. There's another one, even more ridiculous, called 90 Day Fiancé. And the basic premise of these shows is that two people, you know, there's groups of people or whatever, they're thrown in this situation, basically two strangers agree to marry each other. And we all look at that and say, well, that's absurd. You know, that's absurd. And why would it be absurd to marry a stranger? You should only marry someone that you love, right? And you can't love someone that you don't know. There's a song, an oldie song, and it was called To Know Him Is to Love Him. And if you're older, if you have some gray hair, or if you know the oldies, I'm sure Tony knows this song, oldies fans. To know Him is to love Him. In order to love God, you have to know Him better. How do I do that? How do I come to know my God more than I do right now? You have to learn about Him. To read the scriptures. They're right here. They're right here. You can have them all right here. You can open up those scriptures and you can learn about God. You can have scriptures sent to you every day. Technology's made this so easy. Set up an app, send a scripture every day, read that scripture. If you do that every day, I promise you by the end of next year, you will know God. You will feel like you have a better idea of who He is and what He wants for you than you do right now. You can come to Sunday school. It's hard to study. I know it is. I know it's hard to know where to begin. Where do I even begin in the scriptures? Where do I start reading? What lessons am I trying to learn from that? What truths do I get from that? Do it in an organized fashion. That's why we have Sunday school. We meet together. We learn from each other. We grow with each other. Come here and listen to sermons. Listen to your brother and sister stand up and give testimonies and talk about what God has done for them. If you want to know how God works, listen to other people talk about how God works, about the prayers that they've offered, and about how God has answered those prayers, about the wisdom that they've gained through the Holy Spirit. You pray. Speak to him. Pour out your heart to him. If I asked you in your life, who is your best friend? I'm sure you would all have a name that comes to mind. Say, who is your best friend? Think of someone. Think of whoever that is. And then I'm asking you basically the same question. Who do you talk to the most? It's probably the same person, right? Praying is talking to your God. It's talking to your Creator. Now I'll go on autopilot sometimes and not be diligent in my prayer, and I think, God knows. He knows what's there. He knows what's in my heart. I'm so tired. I don't have the energy to do that tonight. He wants you to call out to him. He wants you to take the time. Set it aside. Speak to your God. Romans 8:26. I want to read this. Why do we pray? Why do we pray to him? It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What are our infirmities? Our weakness, our struggles, the challenges that we have in our life. So the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Do you have those times in your life where you think, I don't even know what I need? I don't know what to ask for. I know that something's missing, but I don't know what it is. Spirit knows. And what does it do for us? Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Intercession, it goes between us and our Creator and our Heavenly Father. With what? With groanings which cannot be uttered. It communicates our needs. It knows what's in our hearts, and it communicates that. Praying. Young people, if you do not pray, if you've not made it a habit to pray, start today. And it is not difficult. It does not have to be complicated. Just talk. Talk to God. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what's on your heart. Tell him what you're worried about. Ask him what you should do in your life. Ask him to be with you. How do I know him more? By keeping his commandments. 14th chapter of John. The 21st verse, he says, this is Christ speaking, Christ himself, the one that we want to know better. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So, if you want Christ to be made known in your life, if you want to see where he is at, if you want to know how he works, how he shows himself, keep his commandments. If you have not been baptized, that is a commandment. He is commanding you to dedicate your life to him, to put your sins on the altar of sacrifice, your own self-will, and to dedicate your life to his service. He will manifest himself to you. I have to admit, when I was a young person, that was a struggle. I struggled with that. I came to church from the time before I can remember. And most of you all were here and remember me when I was that age. And I went through all the motions and prayed and went to Sunday school. And God is real. And that's what I've been told my whole life. But it wasn't until I started following those commandments and let God prove himself to me that he became real. That he became not just someone that I was told about, but someone that I knew. Someone that witnessed himself to me by blessing me, by speaking to me. Times of quiet through other people, through answered prayer, through unanswered prayer, through peace and guidance. If you want God to prove himself to you, he will. Ask him. Deuteronomy, 4th chapter. I went too far. Don't read that. I'm going to go back. When I think about evidences in the scriptures of God proving himself, I think about Abram and Sarai, right? God, what did God promise to Abraham? He said that I will make your seed is more numerous than the sands of the sea, right? He was old. He was old and his wife was old, and he promised that they would have a child of their own. And what did Sarai do? She laughed when she heard that, right? But what did God do? He proved himself. So there's times where I know that you will feel the doubt, but if you let God work, he will prove himself to you. And this is something that in this age of information where everything is at our fingertips, where, you know, I have two children in my house that are, they're the actuallys. You know, when you make a statement and someone knows better than you and they say, actually, I've got two of those children in my house and they know everything. They know everything because everything that they need to know is right here. And they're quick to correct you and tell you, actually, this is how it really is. This isn't going to tell you. This isn't going to give you these answers. You can't Google this. You can't look it up on YouTube. There's not some witty TikTok video that's going to teach you how to do this. You have to do it yourself. Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. 23 and 24 says, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. That phrase, a jealous God, I stumbled on for a long time. What that meant. And what helped me understand it was a quote by C.S. Lewis. And it helped me understand that God, when he says God, he is a jealous God. And that we shouldn't have any other graven image or any likeness, anything that comes before him. We should have no idols in our heart that come before the Lord our God. And why is he jealous? Why does he want that from you? Because he needs it all for himself? No, it's not for himself, it's for you. He is jealous for you. And why is he jealous for you? Because God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. What does it tell us in 2 Nephi? Why were we created? To have joy. He is jealous for us. He wants us to be first. He wants to be first in our lives because he wants us to be happy. He wants us to have joy and contentment and peace. And without him, we cannot have that. It's not there. So that's the first part of that resolution. Will you love the Lord your God more fully this year than you ever have before? Will you commit yourself to it? Will you pray? Will you follow his commandments a little more closely this year than you did last year? Will you ask him to prove himself to you? Part two. Christ following up. What is the greatest commandment? Part two of that answer, and he tells this man, the second is like unto it, the second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So this is my question. This is my second resolution question. Do you resolve to love everyone you encounter more fully this year? Everyone. Everyone. You show more love to your husband. Probably doesn't deserve it. He knows how to get to you like no one else. He does the same things over and over. Will you love him more this year? Husbands, will you love your wives more? Will you give more of yourself to her? Will you show your appreciation to her more this year than you did last year? Because she deserves it. I promise you she does. Will you resolve between the two of you to have fewer arguments? Will you be more supportive? Will you have more gratitude in your heart for each other? Will you give more thanks to God for the marriage that you do have? Will you love your children more this year? Will you spend more time with them? Will you be more patient with them? Slower to anger? Will you show more interest in their lives? Will you ask them more questions? Get to know them as people better than you already do. Because they're growing and they're changing and they have all these new things coming up in their lives and all these new feelings and other players in their lives, role players in their lives and people who are affecting them. Will you be more a part of it? Will you be more in tune with what they're going through? Will you tell them how you feel about them? How much you love them and care for them. Will you tell them more about God and how he works in your life? To my younger congregation here who have brothers and sisters that you share a household with, will you love your brother or will you love your sister more this year than you did last year? I've got to tell a funny story. My girls are on a basketball team together and they have a teammate. And I shouldn't laugh at this, but everyone who's had a brother or sister knows this feeling. So one of their teammates said, the person I hate most in the world is my older sister. I can't stand her. And that's, while that shouldn't be funny, if you've had a brother or sister, you know exactly what that feels like. It's so easy to hate that person who's there all the time and drives you crazy and will deliberately get on your nerves and try to provoke you. But someday you're 40 plus years old and you don't see your brother, you don't see your sister that often, and they may live halfway across the country, and you think back on the times where you're sleeping next to each other, young and dumb, innocent, and wish you could go back and experience those times again. Appreciate the times that you have with your siblings. I know it's hard. Tell them you love them. Show them that you appreciate them. Be more patient with them. Invite your younger brother or sister to go with you. I wanted that so bad when I was a kid. I just wanted to go along with one of my brothers. They didn't want to take me. I know you don't want to take them with you. Spend time with them. Get to know each other as friends. Build a relationship that will last the rest of your life. Will you love your parents more this year than you did last year? Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Parents are these fixtures in our lives, and they're there, and they feel like they're going to be there forever, and they're there until they're not. And then all you have are memories. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what's the promise? The promise is that if you respect your parents, if you love them, it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. God gives us a promise. You know what your parents want? Your parents want your time. They want to talk to you. They want to be a part of your lives. That's it. Maybe show some appreciation once in a while. Thank them. They just want to be a part of your life. If you want to love your parents more, invite them more to be more a part of your life than they are right now. Because it's really easy to take them for granted. But you don't know when they may be gone. So these are things we all want, right? We all want to love our husbands and wives more. We want to be better to our children. We want to be better brothers and sisters and to our parents, right? For the most part, we all want that. Now, it's the harder part about everyone else. Because that commandment's not just for the people that we associate with every day and live with. What about that annoying neighbor that you've had a run-in with? What about the coworker who's out to get you? I have someone like that at work. I have a coworker that will text my boss behind everyone else's back and accidentally sent a group text when it was meant to go to the boss, saying some unkind things. My human reaction is, I don't want to love this person more. I don't want to be around this person more, but God has commanded me to do that. He's commanded me to do that. To the classmate who talks about you, spreads rumors about you, that happens in school. And that's a challenge, that's tough. If your boss doesn't appreciate your work, doesn't notice your efforts, maybe is a little disrespectful, maybe takes advantage of you. Maybe there's a minister that when you hear him preach, you just don't see eye to eye. You just don't agree with maybe some of the points that he makes. There's people in this world whose politics are completely opposite of yours. It feels like you live in two different realities. Are you going to love them more this year than you did last year? Because God is commanding you to do that. And we as the body of Christ, as Christians, taken upon us the name of Christ, we have to demonstrate it's possible to disagree with respect, to still speak in love. And sometimes the only way to love someone else is to not reciprocate hate. You need to ask yourself, when you think about the people in your lives and those around you, and you'll know who they are, they will come to your mind, who you need to love more. Is there a need for forgiveness? Is there a need for forgiveness? Either way, do you need to be forgiven by this person? Have you asked to be forgiven? Do you need to forgive them? Can you not be? Matthew 18. I do a lot of reading out of Matthew. It wasn't intentional. It just happened. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Well, we have some history. There's hard feelings. There's been a lot of things said. There's no asterisk here, is there? There's no exemption for hard feelings, is there? There's no exemption for a complicated history. I can't forgive until we resolve these issues. I can't do it. I can't forgive this person. Then take those issues up with your brother or sister. In meekness and in love, and resolve those issues and forgive them. We have a responsibility, a commandment to forgive. I hate to keep talking about myself, but I want to tell on myself. I want to confess to you that I woke up from a dream recently, and a couple former coworkers, and one who had really, really harmed me and hurt me. And I woke up from this dream, and I would just became curious. So I got on social media, and I said, I was thinking, where is this person? because I still have hard feelings towards this person, and I've been hanging on to them. So I looked him up, and I couldn't find anything on there. So I thought, well, that's strange. So you do the deep dive, and I know some of you know how to do the deep dive on social media to find out more details. So I looked up his wife, and his wife's status said single. And this person was divorced, and I took a little pleasure in that. And what a horrible thing to admit. But this person harmed me, and I wanted to know that they'd been harmed themselves also. And so I had to repent of that. And I am standing here telling you I have forgiveness to give that I am withholding. And I know in your heart you probably do too, because we're human beings and we get offended and we get hurt, and it's easy to hang on to hurts from times past. But God has commanded you to love your brother and your sister and to forgive them. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. He tells us in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, the fifth chapter, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." There is no peace without love. And if you are withholding forgiveness and love from someone, your soul cannot be at peace. And I'm telling you, I was having that dream about this person because my soul was not at peace. I was withholding forgiveness. I was hanging on to that grudge and those hard feelings. And God has commanded you to let go of those, to love them as you love yourself. I don't have much more to read, but I want to ask you, these resolutions, how important are these two resolutions? How important are these two commandments? What does Christ say? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So everything is based on this. You know, I have a real talent in making things more complicated than they need to be. And so I want to simplify, and I want to start my year out simply by approaching my determination and resolve to love God more than I did last year, and to love each of you more than I did last year. Have more love in my heart. It says in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, when I talk about complicating things and making them more difficult. The 12th chapter and the 13th verse of Ecclesiastes, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Brothers and sisters, we have a new year ahead of us. We have so much opportunity. Chance to start fresh, with a sense of gratitude, with a sense of determination, to demonstrate to the people that we're around, that we work with, that we live with, that we attend church with, what God has done for us, to show the love that we have. So where, when you come to service, I want it to be noticeable. I want the people that you sit in your pew with to know there's something different about this brother or this sister this year. I can tell that they're inviting God's presence more. So I'm asking you today, will you make this part of your resolution? I pray that you do. I want to thank you for your time and your attention, and God be with you this year.